Thank you. You know, after that singing, that all those good songs, I don't think we need a message up here. That's a message within itself. Before I start in, I am a great believer in love and fellowship. I'd like to see you all stand and hug somebody. Would you do that? Just stand up and hug. Yeah. The good Lord takes care of all of that.
Well, I'm hugging this one all the time.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, we're being a little bit foolish about this sickness that's supposed to be going around. I met a fellow yesterday that was, he and his wife was about probably 50 or 60 years old. She's been a nurse all of her life. And she says that most of this stuff that they're calling virus is nothing but just a plain old flu that people have. And one of the things that they don't tell us, how many people die every day ordinarily. 255,000, I believe it is, die every day. So they don't tell us that that's the number that dies besides what dies with the flu to start with. And so we've been through this, but if we believe in the Lord and love the Lord and look to Him for our guidance, we won't worry too much. Because if we're a Christian, we can't go home until the Lord calls us. So I have not thought too much about what goes on. It's normal. And you may not agree with me, but most of it is politics. People trying to break down Trump so he won't win the election. And we need him there again. So, but I'd like to start by telling a few little things about my own life, remind you of things that, well, many of you haven't seen, and in the scriptures, in the, our churches. When I was a young man, the women sat on one side of the church and the men sat on the other side. Women taught women, and men taught men. And we didn't, wasn't a fussy thing, it was just a thing that we did back in those days. And it was all taken from the scripture, where Paul talks about the women keeping still at the church. And so, we as a people, we do those kind of things. We as a people are a copycat. We see somebody else do something, or we see somebody else wear something, and we decide we want that ourselves. And so that's what we do. And I've watched the church go downhill from many, many years. I was a young man. I was about 12 years old, and within the next 3 or 4 years, I began teaching a class of young people. And I taught those young people for quite a few years. That's where I found my wife. She was one of the ladies in the young people's class. They were just 4 years difference in our age, and I didn't think that was too much. As my mother was 5 years younger than my dad, so that went that way. We made it through life. I remember that even the secular people that didn't go to church respected Sunday. They wouldn't work on Sunday. They would lay at home and do whatever they wanted to do, but they didn't harness up the horses and go to the field. And so times has changed, and it'll change some more. And I'm in my feeling, and we're changing awfully fast right now. And so as I said, my wife and I dated during our period of time as I was teaching young people. We two churches joined together, the Methodist and the Disciples, which I belong to. And I know every fall there was five different churches that would hold revivals. And we'd hold a revival. We didn't have a three-day meeting. We had a 2 weeks meeting. And so most of the fall was going to church, and we loved going to church. I can recall after I was married and the television started coming in around this area, I began to talk to church people. We need to get on this television. But no, that's the old sin box. We don't want nothing to do with that. But that's where we foul up what God gives us. God allowed the television to come in so we could use it to preach in, just like they're doing a pretty good job now. But if they'd have done it right on the start, we'd have been a lot better off than what we are now. We would have had a lot better churches, or that is, a lot more of them doing what they should do. One of the things I want to tell you about, and perhaps most of you may already know, we have seminars and people I said seminars, it's not the word I need. People that teach young preachers that are teaching today to young preachers, there's no such thing as a virgin birth. My son lives in Texas, and he's done a lot of Christian work, and he lives in a town that's a Baptist college. And it was pretty expensive. He didn't think he could afford it. And he heard that up at Abilene, there was a place up there that didn't charge so much. So he went up and signed up. He lasted 2 weeks. Because within 2 weeks, they were trying to teach him that there wasn't a virgin birth. And so he dropped back out. He's now been able to get some of his degrees and things that he needed down there. So I have spent many years preaching God's word to people. God's word's what's important. It's something that we all need to put more time in. Every night, I pray for every one of you all. I pray for the church. I pray for the people here. And I ask God to guide us in what we do. And so I want to tell you tonight is one of the things that probably I didn't doubt what most of you, because it's not very often happen that you find people that have read the Bible all the way through. And if you don't read the Bible all the way through and study the Bible, you can't understand a lot of the things that's in the New Testament that Christ taught. We have to realize that Christ came, was a Jew. He wasn't a Gentile, he was a Jew. And he taught the lessons out of the Jewish Bible, which was the Old Testament. And the thing that he came to do was to replace the blood of the beef, the calves, and the things that they had that they weren't doing what they should be doing with. It was too much of a hassle to keep up in the Old Testament. Read the Old Testament and find the laws that you should be living by today. You go into Leviticus and Exodus, and it'll show you what you ought to be doing. The laws there tells us that homosexuals ought to be killed. They lived in those days, they lived by strict laws. A young man, in one of the examples, a young man was out on Sunday picking up sticks. Well, the law back then, you was to do absolutely nothing but rest. God designed these bodies to have rest. When he made the earth and done all of the work that he did there, he used Sunday to rest. Said he rested. If God need rest, we need rest. The body's built that way. And so not necessarily just a day just to come to church. It's a day to worship the Lord and to rest and to rebuild our bodies. But today we find people coming to church, and then they, as quick as they get out of church, they go home and crank up the tractor and go to work. And that is leading our nation in the wrong direction. And so, as I think of those things that we should be doing, studying and the old Bible as well as the new. Jesus come to take the place of it and to have mercy upon us. He knew that we could not keep from sinning. Every one of us sinned. Probably every one of us did today. We probably neglected something that God wanted us to do. I know one time, sir, it's been quite a few years now, but it stays on my mind. I had two different farms, and I was driving by this fellow's house, and I had the urge to go and talk to him. I knew him, and I'd known him since he was just a young man. But I went by that house many, many times and had the urge to go speak to him and about his life and question him. One night I got home and I heard that he had passed away. he had a heart attack. Well, that was bad enough, but his wife called me to have the funeral. The Lord puts us in some tough positions sometimes, and that stayed with me, and it still stays with me, to realize that maybe I should have stopped and talked to this man, and it might have made a lot of difference in his life. But anyway, I passed up that opportunity. And so, as we think about these things, we as Christians should love one another. We should be careful in what we say about one another. I expect somebody today, maybe there may be somebody that you don't like that comes to church. You should be apologizing to him because you're thinking that way. And you maybe there's somebody here that would like to get close to you, and you stay away from them. The Lord made us all to love one another and to walk in his ways. And as I think about these things, I want to read some pieces that I have found. I kept them in my Bible, and I hate to do quite a bit of reading, but it's the only way to get the point across and to be able to tell you. This was a petition that says your petitions are welcome. And in 1857, a businessman, Jeremiah Lamfer, had listened to God asking him to pray for and to research out of those around him. This was a man that was in business in New York City. And at that time, this country had went downhill on Christianity. And he wanted people to come and pray with him. And so there was an empty house behind the church, and he asked them to come and pray with him in this house 10 minutes or 30 minutes, whatever might happen. And so at the first meeting, after 30 minutes passed, 5 other people came to pray. The next week, 14 people came to pray. And the next week, 23 came to pray. And 4 months later, there were 3,000 businessmen filled the church buildings every day. By March, the media reported that over 10,000 people a day were attending prayer meeting across New York City business. The businesses even closed to allow their employees to go and pray at that time. And so there was a great revival happened in the United States back there in 1857. And I want to read another one for you, and praying is involved in it, and it was 1924 they started up a seminary in Dallas, Texas, and it was a Baptist seminary. They started this up, and they borrowed the money to do this. And as they borrowed the money to do it, it come due, and they couldn't raise the money. And as they was worrying about it and doing everything they could for it. They gathered together and had a prayer meeting. And as they were praying, they asked Dr. Harry Ironside, who was one of the men that attended, and he was famous for his brief prayers. And so he prayed, "We know you own the cattle in 1,000 hills. Please sell some of them and send us the money." While they were asking God to remember his promise to them about starting the seminary, there would a man came to the door and to the office, and the lady at the office, he told her, he said, "I sold 2 carloads of cattle, and as I sold it, I tried to make a deal all day, and I couldn't make a deal for a business or something that he wanted to do." And so he said, "I felt the Lord told me to give you this place the money." And so she took the check and she knocked on the door, and the president of the business came to the door and she handed him the check. She says, "I think you ought to see this." It was the exact dollars that they had needed for the seminar. The president turned around and said, "Harry, he sold some cattle." And so I tell you that to encourage you in praying. And not only that, but about 20 years ago, some of you I know will remember or recognize the name of Dr. Jerry, Jeremiah, that's on television. And about 20 years ago, Dr. Jeremiah was having problems with their organization. They have several schools that the church takes care of, different age people, kids. And as they was getting down to where they thought they was going to have, they about decided to drop some of the schools. And the lady that opened up the mail brought a check to them that covered the exact amount that they needed. That happened from prayer. We need to, want to encourage you not to forget to pray. Pray for everything you need. Back many years ago, I don't remember how many years, but I come across this statement, pray continually. I have done that ever since. I pray for all day long when I'm working. And I have found that when I need something, I can pray to the Lord and it will happen. As most of you know at least, that I work on old tractors as a mechanic and do stuff like that. And I don't know, thousands of times I've run across places I couldn't remember just what to do or to think about. And so I'd turn to the Lord and say, "Lord, show me where this is at." And every time it happens, things that I've lost around the shop or someplace, I live continually looking to him through prayer. I want to read just a small amount of scripture for you here. and remind you of what the Bible said. This is in John, and he said, the first chapter, "And he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word in him, verily the love of God perfected, hereby know we that are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning of the old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning." Christianity is nothing new. It's been many, many years ago. We forget who God is, and we get busy doing other things. We are poor people because we don't read and study the Word. Go into Proverbs. Proverbs will show you how to save your money, how to buy only what you need. You know, most people are poor because they buy what they want instead of what they need. It don't take as much money as a lot of people think it does. It just takes looking after the Word of God and following His ways. He has set the example for us to do things and work in His ways. But I want to make sure that you remember that if you love God, that you need to walk in His ways and serve Him. Walk in His ways because that's the way other people come to Christ. I once read in the statistics of people coming into the church and becoming Christians, and they said that 54% of the people that come in the church come because one of the congregations invited them, not because of what the pastor did, but because of what the congregation did. So you have a job, every one of you. That job is to tell other people about Jesus Christ, what He does for us, and what He will do for them also, and to tell them the difference of where they're going to go. We're not going to die. We're just going to depart from this old body that we got. But the soul lives on. It continues to live either in heaven or hell. We can live in heaven in a place that I don't understand. I know from the scriptures and from what the Bible teaches, it's a wonderful place. But I don't understand. I can't tell you. There's some that tries to tell us what heaven's going to be like. It's going to be all of these things. It talks about golden streets and all of that. Are they really talking about real gold, or are they using that as a comparison? I don't know. But I do know that we're going to heaven is going to be much better than going to hell. We listen to two voices in our life. We hear the voice of Satan, and we hear the voice of God. But we don't listen close enough a lot of the time to the Word of God. We hear the word louder that comes from Satan, and we end up getting ourselves in trouble, doing things we shouldn't do, and that even as Christians, we don't actually walk in the ways that Christ walked. We don't think that we can follow his footsteps, but we can if we depend on him. He is there for us to give us a life that is wonderful here on earth as well as in heaven. Heaven begins on earth. It begins when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I know that there is heartaches that come to us, different things that happens, and we can't understand why they do. But the reason that we get into some of these problems is God is trying to show us a different direction. If we didn't have that problem, we wouldn't do the things that God wants us to do. He abides with us always. He stays in our life. We may not think that we love God even, or we think that we don't need God, but God is there. He is waiting on you to make that decision to live with him or to live with Satan in a burning hell's fire. We remember the story of Lazarus and how he was transferred to heaven, and the other one went to hell. You know, the thing that I marvel about that, it didn't say that Lazarus could look across and see the other guy, but it said that the other guy could look across and see the wonderful life that Lazarus had. That within itself should tell us where we need to go and what we need to do. We need to read more than we do normally. I read every morning after breakfast. The first thing I do is pick up my Bible and I read. I read the Bible through once a year, and then I read besides that is of an evening before I go to bed. I read for about 30 minutes, and I will continue to do that as long as the Lord allows me to live. I don't know where I'll be here tomorrow or not, but it don't really matter. I'm in his arms, and I just pray that nothing in the world can cause me to get out of his arms. But he says he will hang on to us if we accept him, that he'll not allow us to get away. So I want to emphasize that we need to walk the same steps that Christ walked in. I know it's public for us to do different things and think something that we should have that we don't need. And we, a lot of the time, abuse that which the Lord wants us to do. I started when I was probably 16 or 17 years old, giving a tithe to the Lord. I remember a time that I went to the Baptist church down when the old Baptist church here in Bethany, and I give my tithes, and I just had a dollar left. Back in those days, a dollar would buy quite a little bit. And there was a restaurant up in Eagleville. It was called a truck stop, and it was a real good place to eat. A dollar would buy a plate lunch. Well, I had that dollar left, and had a friend that I grew up with loved quail hunting. He wanted me to go quail hunting with him. And we started up there, and it was a little bit of snow on the ground. And right out here by the old lake and them sharp curves, I don't remember where the man and wife was from, but they was out of state. And they'd went around that corner and slid off in the ditch, and he was stuck. Short time before that, I'd took an old chain tug off of the harness, put some hooks on it, and put it in the trunk of the car. And as we went around there, why, I stopped it to help him, and so we picked up the stuff, some stuff that was scattered on the ground. And I hooked on to him and pulled him out. He said, "How much do I owe you?" And I said, "Nothing." Well, he said, I'd pay you something. He said, "I got to go to, I'd have to get call a wrecker otherwise." And that gave me enough money that I could buy a plate lunch at Eagleville, where we was going quail hunting. And I had to say, "Thank you, Lord." And I could tell stories after stories of this kind of thing happening in my life. And I praise the Lord for everything that has happened, because he has kept me safe. Even several times with my feet and legs the way they are, I have failed, but I've never broke a bone, and I praise him for it. I say, "Thank you, Lord." Every morning when I get up and get out of bed, I put my feet on the floor, and I say, "Thank you, Lord, that I can get up and get around again. Watch over me through this day, that I may be able to do your will." And I don't say this, tell you this bragging about it. I tell you this because we all should be doing this kind of thing. We should be praising God every morning, praise him again every night. As I go to bed, and as I mentioned a while ago, I pray for this church and the people. And as I have a list of other people that I pray for, I pray for our president and the people that's running our government, and pray for them and watch for them. And then I'll turn over and turn the light out, and then I start praying for Israel and the people there. We need to help Israel. Israel needs our help. The Holocaust people are coming in over there now. I've been in that place, in one of those places, where there were thousands and thousands of them gassed and put to death. When I went there, all the furnaces hadn't been finished. They was making new furnaces, and we finished the furnaces so that they could burn the bodies that was there. I saw a picture of where, when the group went there in World War II, there was bodies piled as high as a train, a cattle car back behind them. And so I know those people suffered, and those people, there is still a few of those people that still alive that went through some of those camps there then. And one of the things that break my heart as I learned about our president back then, most people think he was a wonderful guy, but I don't feel angry at him, because I feel that he was ignorant of what he was what he did. Back there in that time, the St. Louis ship there was a bunch of those people that over 500 of those Jewish people that had escaped from Germany, and they'd got on this ship and they went to several different places, and they come to St. Louis. And when they got to St. Louis, our president wouldn't let them get off of the ship. And they finally ended up in one, I forget what the little country was, but I believe it was Poland. But that was a country that those people ended up being sent to those concentration camps. And so most of them died because they were beat to death, they were gassed, they were shot, everything you could think of. And so we here tonight don't know how thankful we should be for those things that happened to those people. But so we need to be praying for them likewise. So, but as I want to impress on you, love one another, reach out and touch one another. Don't be afraid. God is protecting you. God will walk with you. You serve him, and he'll save you. I am hope that each and every one here tonight is saved. I hope that you have made your reservations. But if not, I hope you will soon. Because if you don't, it's going to be a terrible place. A terrible place to be, to spend eternity. Eternity cannot be numbered in days, months, or years, because it's forever and ever. It's the time that God intended to start with for it to be, but he gave man a free will. We have a free will to serve Christ, or we have a free will to serve Satan. Make Christ the answer and serve him and keep him in your life. I thank you for allowing me to be here. It's a great privilege, and I just hope and pray that you all have your life right with God and will continue to be right with God and serve him, so that you can end up, I'm headed for heaven, and I want you to be there too. Thank you, and God bless you.